beautiful day in Austin, Texas. It's RBKD. Let's do it. Today on the show, the GOAT, Bill Belichick. He did it again. We'll get into that last night and the three rushes. It could be quick. UT news, more players in the portal, and some possible big-time recruits available for Texas. We'll give an NFL recap and get into our NFL power rankings. A ton of football here on RBKD. He went from DB High to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone you're going to meet, yet discriminates against white condiments. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first and foremost, he's a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal like the great Bun B, but he doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. Woo. My man was a reality TV star before Urban Dictionary was a thing, and yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you or your whole team. He is my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I am doing great. It is a beautiful day outside.
It is a gorgeous day.
It's an awesome day.
It was brisk early on, right?
Brisk, yeah.
A little nippy, but now it's perfect, man. It's perfect weather.
It really is. Yeah. 68.
Mm-hmm. I went for a run this morning. Feeling good.
I went for a bike ride. My hip locked up.
Old man stuff, man. It happens.
It does.
It happens.
It hadn't happened to me in a long time. So actually, it was one of those I thought, oh man, I forgot what this feels like.
Yeah.
So getting old.
My back has been for me.
Your back?
No, the back, every now and then, the back will just kind of randomly lock up on me. So I've reduced the number of times I run per week just because I'm an old man now. And now I got to stretch like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And like all kind of stuff before I even go out to run. It's sad.
Yeah. Well, you see me. I'm stretching during the show all the time.
You know what? And I was advised that I need to start having some physical activity in breaks, that would be good for me because of my job. I sit down too much.
If I sit down the whole time, I'll feel it.
Oh, no, me too. And I think they said that might be some of the back stuff because I sit down just for consecutive. The entire show, I pretty much don't get up.
No.
The entire show. Which may not be a good thing.
And
I can do some of the show standing up, which I could do. I guess I could.
You could
fix the mic.
That'd be weird.
It would be weird, but you know what? I'm going to start doing it.
Okay.
I think it'll be good for my back.
It's funny because you sit the entire show, and I'm up every break.
Oh, you're up every damn break. And
every break.
And doing activities.
Yes.
Like random sports you guys made up in the hallway.
Walk around, I know.
No, but it's a good thing. I need to steal that from you. Bucky actually does exercises during the breaks.
Bucky does the most.
Yeah, which is actually something I also could steal. You can steal from the Buck. The Buck is smart, man. He's about aging gracefully.
He's got your whole thing set up here.
I mean, he's no... I know he's got, right? He's got the yoga... Is the yoga mat still over there? He's
got
the yoga mat.
He had a little mat over there.
He's got it.
He had some weights. Yeah, no, Bucky gets after it, man. It's father time. He's undefeated, unless you're Tom Brady. You know, and you can give it the middle finger, but everybody else feels it. Everybody else feels it, man.
Well,
it's the reality of it.
Third voice of our show would be Patrick Davis. Patrick,
young to feel it.
No, I'm about to say Patrick's
That's
more...
That's not true at all.
Yeah, dude. I know
look
you
at
got
me
some
and think this guy doesn't feel anything. This guy feels everything.
You're just not as old as we are, though. So
I'm not quite
less,
as old, but I have not taken care of this at all.
This. I like how he says
the maintenance.
This.
The maintenance.
Yeah.
You can
take a brand new BMW, and if you don't change the oil, that car is not running that long.
Right.
That's true. If you don't keep up the maintenance, man, that car, depreciates very quickly.
So, yeah.
So you think you're a BMW?
I thought I was.
I like that, though. You're
I like
a BMW.
It too.
No, you know what? Because you didn't say you were, Ferrari or Benz or. Yeah, you could have said anything. You could have said you were Rolls Royce.
He could have said Cutlass, too.
We would have talked him up.
That's true.
Could have been a Pinto
Accord.
You could have been a lot of different things. You chose me.
I went right middle of the road, nice and easy.
No, you're right. I think it was a wise choice, right?
Oh,
it was a wise choice.
Yeah. He didn't go too high.
He didn't go too high
because
they would have been like, whoa, you're a Rolls Royce, bro.
You
really?
Know, if you don't take care,
you're a Rolls Royce.
You don't take
what
care of a Lotus.
What happened to you? Man?
Yeah, no, if you're a Rolls Royce, then you're like, dude, why did you stop doing things? You're like, oh, I could dunk when I was 14. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's why we love my man, Patrick Davis.
Yeah, it'd be good to have him here, obviously. Get to hornfm.com if you want to check out any of the shows. We got a full 4 hours. We have a lot to get to. And I guess we should probably get to, as we're talking about keeping it on the ground with a car, unbelievable. So we said we're not going against the GOAT last night.
Nope.
Bills were a favorite, and the conditions were going to be a huge part of this. I never would have guessed that Mac Jones throws three passes.
Who?
Mac Jones.
Who?
Yeah, well, it was who, because he was just handing off.
He was.
Yeah. All game long.
He was. And it was historically few passes, right? Since 1974.
74.
Was the last time we saw a team.
Because I was going through my head, and I'm thinking, all right, I know there would have been a conditions-type game where I saw this, and I was like, no, not 2 of 3 for 19 yards. I mean, the one pass he threw was, because they threw, like, too late, but the one pass was, what, to Smith, the tight end, Jonnu Smith, and he ends up making a really nice catch because the wind was nuts. And we saw that before yeah. We left for the to end the show. And but to run 46 times, look, they were just more physical. They took it right at him. It's also the other thing I love about Bill Belichick, Rod. Man, sometimes the brilliance is simplicity or exaggeration. And this was an exaggerated game plan, and somehow they got away with the dub.
Yeah, the last time we saw that few passes by a team in an NFL game, 1974, week 3 of that season, the Jets and the Bills actually played. Joe Namath attempted 8 passes for the Jets, only completed 2 to his own receivers, and he had 3 interceptions. So,
and you said week 3, so you wouldn't think weather. It could have been windy or rainy.
It was windy. Okay. It was like 20 miles per hour, and rain was a huge factor. Okay. It was coming down. They said the gusts of wind sometimes would be at 30-something miles per hour, so it was just a nightmare. So Joe Namath had a bad game. Buffalo quarterback Joe Ferguson threw 2 early interceptions to the Jets, but they were both erased by penalties. After that, head coach Lou Saban decided to stick with the ground game. Those were the last 2 passes. He went 0 of 2 the rest of the game. O.J. Simpson.
The juice.
The Bills went on the ground game, and O.J. Simpson gained 117 yards on 31 carries. Jim Braxton, 84 yards, also scored a touchdown. And, yeah, the Bills ended up winning the game 16-12. John Riggins scored a touchdown for the J-E-T-S Jets.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that old school?
Yeah, hey. That is. All that was.
Yeah.
That was
1974. So it's been a while.
None of us were born.
So it's been that long. So, but I'm with, I think that, and I said yesterday, and when you pointed out, they said, oh, man, look at that weather. It's really bad. It's ugly. It's going to make for a fugly game.
And it was.
And that's exactly what it was. But it fit perfectly the identity that has been forged with this Patriots team. They win with defense. They've had the best defense arguably in the league since week, if you go look at it, since basically from week 7. They've had the best ranked defense in terms of scoring defense.
Even better than Kansas City?
They've had
Kansas City was just that stretch. It's been that stretch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I believe theirs started earlier than this stat. Okay. By ESPN Stats and Info. I think theirs started a little bit early. But it said they first in takeaways, too. So their defense is legit. It's the real deal. It didn't really matter that much in this game because the offense was, most of them were severely hindered by the weather. But you start looking at the way they run their ground game. They run a lot of 21 personnel, and they didn't run as much in this game. You saw more tight ends on the field, but they ran extra offensive linemen out there. I mean, I had 6 O linemen out there.
How many eligibles did you hear?
60% of the time.
I mean, yeah. You were hearing that. They actually stopped even, like, you couldn't even hear the mic. They're like, all right, he's eligible.
Yeah.
So, you could hear it faintly.
And you saw Mac Jones under center more than
you usually saw.
Mac Jones. I mean, he was under center close to around 90%+ of the time. So they understood. I mean, they understood the assignment. And the assignment was ball control. Hell, they had a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 5. It was
unbelievable. And then followed it up with 4th and 1. And another QB sneak.
Yeah, I mean, they understood, all right, you know, it's about ball control. It's about just controlling the game as much as we can and limiting the mistakes. They did have that muffed punt early on, which led to the easy score by Buffalo. But pretty much, the Patriots just controlled the game. It was slow, methodical, and it was just, they just suffocated the Bills. And they used the, they basically made the weather, it basically advantageous to them in the way they played the game.
Did you guys check out Sean McDermott post-game?
No. Oh, I did hear it's a snide comment about Belichick.
Was it the comment where he basically said, we can't put this on Bill Belichick? It was our fault.
Yeah.
It was our fault,
yeah.
Not him. He didn't do anything.
It was so weird. So he said, let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one.
Hey.
Whether it was Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right?
Giving it to the GOAT.
But yeah, I know. But you sit here and you tell me when we start with an average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with a 23-yard line, I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1 for 4 in the red zone, and they were 0 for 1 in the red zone. You give me that ahead of time, I'd say I like my chances. I like my chances.
Wow.
I almost, yeah. That's almost incriminating yourself more as a coach.
No, well, it is because he keeps playing Matt Breida over Zach Moss, who is clearly a better running back. And if you're not going to throw
totally
the ball,
agree.
I get Matt Breida's better at pass blocking. I get that. But if you're not going to throw the ball because of this game, then give the ball to Zach Moss because this is all about running and you used a worse back. That's what I don't get. So other than that, though, yeah, it was they had better backs. They had better ball control. And really what you saw, the big one is Damian Harris didn't fumble that one really early play on the toss and then didn't fumble again. And if the Patriots start fumbling, then that game gets away from really quick. They held on to the ball in the cold. That's what mattered.
Man, they threw it 30 times.
Yeah.
And Bills threw it 30 times.
No, Brian Daboll, the OC for the Bills on the other end, did not.
And it didn't fit their identity either, right? We know the Buffalo Bills love to abandon the run. Josh Allen, arguably, is their most effective rusher. They always abandon the run. They take it out in the backyard, shoot it dead, and bury it somewhere. So this game was just not ideal for the way they like to call their game. So, he makes a good point, but still Belichick, like I said, understood the assignment. Just control the ball. And limit mistakes. That's it.
But guys, if they have 49 snaps and 46 are on the ground, at some point, if you're the Bills, I know they made some adjustments, but at some point, you just got to completely stack the box, right?
They did have stacked boxes on 26 of those 46 rushes. They had a stacked box, which is 8 or more defenders in the box for Buffalo.
And that was obviously more late once they realized, late, but as the game was going on.
And New England still averaged 5.4 yards per carry. On those 26 rushes when
they're
they stacked
the box. They're
just more physical. They were just more fit. They put 6 O linemen out there half the time.
They're
like,
just more physical.
You know we're gonna run it at you. We're gonna win. We're gonna win the battle of the trenches.
And I'll give them credit. Look, their drafts haven't, Belichick gets some crap for some of his drafts, like with receivers and stuff like that.
And DBs. He didn't draft DBs really well.
Which is so funny.
It is strange.
It's one of those weird things
where, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Because he'll also go get DBs
he knows how to go get,
who are okay in the league, and all of a sudden they're
Adrian Phillips is
all pro.
Adrian Phillips is having like a Pro Bowl year with him there as a veteran safety. Remember when got was it Browner? He went and got Darrell Revis. They went and got
Tlaib. He was messing around with
Tre'Davious White. What's the one? Stephon Gilmore.
Yep.
They got him. Traded from. They just let him go. He's really good at evaluating DBs, but at drafting him, it's really weird and strange.
It is strange. But the offensive line, my point with that was they have drafted pretty well in the Isaiah wins, and they brought Trent Brown over. But that offensive line is, I think that's really the secret to their sauce, at least this year. And for people that haven't seen Mac Jones can throw. This was just one of those, like I said, exaggerated game plans, and it's chalk another one up for Bill Belichick. Well, I think most of us aren't looking at McDermott or looking at it like McDermott is thinking that, no, we can't give him love. No, I give him love on that.
No, yeah. I will say this, though, is he did the right thing. I'm very big on when you have rookie quarterbacks, you don't put them in positions to fail. It's very important to give your rookie quarterbacks the right situations. And he knew Mac Jones could throw a pick that has nothing to do with him in this game. But he could throw a pick, wind gust, it goes flying 5 feet over, and that's an interception. He could do that twice in a game and get 2 interceptions. I don't want to put him in that situation. So we just won't throw the ball. But it's smart to not let your quarterback get in bad positions when they're a rookie. So I think that's a great decision by Bill Belichick to just not put him in that bad place.
I agree, but guys, still 3 passes.
No, that's crazy.
We're saying that could have been 11 passes, and we're still saying the same thing.
Keep in mind, Josh McDaniels has been doing this all season long. The Patriots actually have over a 50% run rate on all their downs in the NFL. Like that's very rare in a passing league. So they run it, but three
passes.
I'm agree with it. But to Patrick's point, that's what the model has been all season long. That's why Mac Jones has been thriving, because they have put very little on his plate. They're trying to bring him along really slowly, and part of that is they run the ball a ton.
And
a lot of 21 personnel.
And
exactly.
Play action.
They get
their one-on-ones.
Yeah. Even when you look at the 49ers, they run a lot of 21 personnel with the fullback, but Juszczyk is their fullback. When they actually use him at fullback, it's like 31% of the time. Hell, the fullback
he can be a single back. He can be a slot.
You know, put him at tight end.
Tight end.
Sometimes
a lot.
They just hand it off to him as a tailback.
Yes.
The fullback for the Patriots, I mean, he's in the backfield like a traditional fullback most of the time. So they're running an old school offense, but I think it's like Patrick says, it's to simplify things for their young quarterback. It's brilliant. It's working.
Yeah,
I said it reminded me of the 2001 Patriots.
You've been saying that for a little while.
It looks like that 0-1 Patriots team. It does.
And their defense is fantastic. Good to see Adrian Phillips. Did you guys see? Phillips got hurt.
I know. That's why I hope he's okay. But it looked bad because they went to a commercial break with it, right?
Yeah.
It ain't good when an injury goes to a commercial break. But
you're right.
It's always back to me. It takes more time. And I did hear that he didn't tear anything. Like, it wasn't a torn ACL or anything like that. So however bad it is, he's going to be out. But he won't need surgery is what I'm hearing.
How about the blocking on the Damian Harris 64-yarder? Fantastic. And I think it was Aguilar who came in and N'Keal Harry who came down and cracked down.
Yeah.
And then they're playing a single high safety, and he took a bad angle, Rod.
Yeah. We see it all the time.
I know. It was not foreign to our eyes.
Exactly.
Took a bad angle, but this Patriots team now is 9-4. The Bills are 7-5. Look, we've said it for a couple of weeks. The Bills just aren't what people thought they were going to be preseason. Clearly, they're not that physical of a football team. You mentioned it. Josh Allen, is there a real run threat? Guys, I don't think Buffalo's going anywhere.
I think they're the team, though, that you kind of thought all year. If they get hot at the right time, they can beat anybody. They have the talent there to beat anybody, but they have to get hot at the right time, and they're definitely not hot right now. But I think that if you get in the playoffs, you get the right matchups in there, you get guys that maybe don't guard running quarterbacks as well. Josh Allen gets to have a couple big games. They win two games in the playoffs real easy, and then it's just how the ball bounces.
Yeah, because the AFC it's the Patriots and the Chiefs right now that are trending in the right direction. Everybody else seems to be a bit of a mystery, right? There's so much inconsistency in AFC.
Yeah, well, the Titans have fallen off. Ravens, I don't know what the Ravens are week to week.
I don't know what the Ravens are. I can't really figure them out either. I think he's right. I mean, Buffalo, at least, I think they can take some comfort in. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs are trending in the right direction. The Patriots looks like they're going to be the real deal. But without this weather, if there was a different circumstance, the Bills can play their high-flying style of game. They try to make it a different game for the Patriots. But the Patriots match up well with the Bills because of that secondary.
Mm-hmm.
They match up well with the Bills because they play a multiple style of defense. They play a lot of sub-packages with nickel and dime packages. And also, that's what I love about the Buffalo Bills, too. That secondary is legit. Even without Tre'Davious White, I mean, those safeties are a real deal.
Yeah, and that's also part of the matchup. So it was weather. It's everything we've talked about.
Yeah.
They're a running team anyway. They have done a good job of protecting Mac Jones, not to obviously three passes. But when you look at the Bills secondary too, Rod, like all this just set up for Belichick and Josh McDaniels to say, no, we're going to go and we're going to go heavy with the run. By the way, Belichick did give us a little glimpse of what was going to be happening. Did you guys see pregame? I even pointed it out to you. Remember?
Well, did he have the mask on? What was the mask?
Navy.
Yeah, you're right. He did have the Navy mask
this
on.
This was, if I've ever seen a Navy
that.
Game plan, 49 plays, 46 runs. That was a Navy game
plan. Might have been
plan.
Foreshadowing
I'm
something.
I'm telling
huh?
you. And he's such a Darth Vader character it wouldn't shock
that.
Me.
No, I could see that. I really could see that. That's his way of a joke. Like, that's him.
Yeah. Oh, no. He thinks that's hilarious.
Can you just imagine Bill Belichick, like, at his house looking at seven different face masks and chuckling to himself?
Yeah.
Like, no, the only time he's laughed all year is picking out that face mask.
Yeah. No.
It's a real maniacal laugh.
Yeah. No, his laugh is like that Kawhi Leonard laugh.
Oh, whoa, man.
It's a scary one. But I think you're right about that, man. Honestly, I think you might be right about for a football historian like him, he thinks that's hilarious. Like, he's calling up, Parcells and the guy. Did you see what I put out there, man? It went viral. They didn't even get it. Yeah, no, I can see that. I like that. I'm going to say it happened anyway.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm going to say that's definitely the reason he wore it.
As I'm watching, I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh my God. I think he was putting one on us there. Mm-hmm. Hey, so New England has a 2-game lead in the East. Baltimore has.
And a bye week. Now they got a bye week. A late bye week.
Adrian, any of those guys, get healthy.
Exactly right, man.
And we saw Adrian posted last night where apparently they did a quick MRI in the locker room, and he posted afterwards, thank God.
Beautiful.
So it seems as if he probably got good news last night.
Yeah. See, it means no surgery, at least I'm assuming, is a thank God.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Right That's now, awesome. Though, guys, could you argue that Miami is the second best team in the East? Miami's won 5 in a row. Miami looks good.
I mean, that's interesting.
I mean, I wouldn't say looks good. I would say they're looking better than they did.
Well, they've won 5 in a row.
They have.
Some of that's competition.
And that is,
it.
And it's.
I'll still take the Bills just because of the quarterback, because I need to watch Tua more. I'll admit that.
Yeah,
I need to watch Tua.
Especially once you get late in the season and you start to dwindle down to where they're going to make those mistakes. There is just so many young players on that Miami team.
Right. And the best
win. I like the defense, though.
I do,
that
too.
That defense is legit. That Miami defense is the real deal.
They've invested
Brian
there.
Built the right way. Yeah.
Tua has looked better. God, he loves to roll left. It is.
Is it?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's one of those guys. He'll create his own comfortable pocket. It's like, what are you doing?
James Brown would be proud.
Yeah, you're all good, man. Nah, I got to be going left. Of their five wins in a row, so I'm well aware of this, you got Texans, Jets. The Ravens is the best win of those five, and that gets back to the Ravens. Remember that? Remember the 22 win? Or 22-10 win, and they played nothing but zero?
That's right. They played that radar coverage, right?
So they have some versatility, especially defensively. Package. Certainly understand the questions about Tua kind of and where he is right now. But there seems to be more hope with him than anything. You've got Baltimore and Cincinnati that are sitting there with the AFC North. We didn't talk about Pittsburgh yesterday, Rod. And Big Ben, I mean, it kind of leaked out before the game that Big Ben, this was going to be his last year. He doesn't want to go play anywhere else. And for a team that really looked bad the few times I had seen him, they looked a lot better, obviously, getting the win. They're now 6-5.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we all knew that this was it for Big Ben. I wonder why it took...
The North is an S show.
But just for the Steelers, man, for that organization, I mean, it's a classy move to allow the quarterback to... you know, decide his own fate and leave on his own terms. But, man, I just think that's almost irresponsible for a franchise like the Steelers, because I think it could set you back. There are no quarterbacks in the draft next year that are considered surefire franchise quarterbacks.
But what is Pittsburgh going to do? I mean, they're kind of stuck with them this year.
I know. You should have started looking at that 3 years ago. I mean, we know that.
Agreed on that.
And the Green Bay Packers, some people would say they're the extreme on the other end.
Yeah.
Where they go get quarterbacks their quarterback wins the MVP and they draft the quarterback that year.
Yeah. It was a gamble, too.
It is a gamble, but, you know, I think it was the opposite. They drafted a quarterback and then he won the MVP, but still, get my point.
Yeah, that Steelers seems like the old school way of like, well, we'll just run the ball until we get another quarterback. We'll go get Harris and we'll just run the ball for 3 years until we get a quarterback.
It's true.
Like, it's not how it works in today's game, but it seems like a Steelers move.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Cowboys, Washington, we'll get into that a little bit later on. And you got Washington, who's actually in second place in the NFC East. Cowboys,
hey, they're hot.
They are hot, man. And
they're,
I'll give you
right
credit.
Now.
You've talked about Heinicke
gritty,
and kind of how they're playing. But, we'll get some power rankings coming up here in a little bit. Let's get some UT news coming up next. We got more players in the portal and a huge 5-star offensive lineman. Some people are predicting he's going to go to Texas.
Welcome back to RBKD. We like to call it the Bat Tuesday edition of RBKD. We play songs from our sister station, the Bat 105.3, the Bat. And if you want to follow us via Twitter, you can follow us. I'm at Rod Davis in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at Kevin Dunn 01. And Patrick Davis doing a great job of DJing the Bat Tuesday right here on RBKD at It's Patrick Davis. Is that right? Did I get it right, Patrick?
That is correct.
All right. Oh, no, sorry about that. I'll make sure I get it right.
I don't think there's anyone better to produce our show on Bat Tuesday than Patrick.
I will say that I agree
he's
with you.
Well, and that's not a shout out to the other producers, who I love, but just his connection with the bat.
That is also true. That's a good point. But I would say that Patrick probably could produce most of our theme music days, because he's got a very eclectic, diverse musical palette.
Well, he's a BMW.
You ask him, he's a BMW.
BMW with a solid speaker system.
Yes. What would your ex-girlfriends describe you as?
I don't know. Fat and mean, probably.
I was going to go with car. The car description. Like,
yes,
you know,
car.
I'm trying to keep up the analogy. But
what's,
you know,
a fat
what the hell
and mean car?
I don't know.
See, I meant that to open yourself,
I know,
softball, to give yourself
some,
a compliment,
no,
and yet,
no,
of course, Patrick would be self-deprecating, which we appreciate. Thank you. It's all for your amusement and humor.
That's why you should check out Insincerious.
That's why you should check it out. You should follow him via Twitter at It's Patrick Davis. All right, let's get to the Longhorn discussion here, Longhorn football discussion. So with all of the, you know, the news and the coaching carousel that continues to go on in college sports, and I believe we might be at the end of it now that Oregon – well, that's not the end of it, but in terms of the big-time blue blood associated programs of that nature.
Oregon making the hire.
Oregon making.
That could open up UCLA.
I guess, you know what, you're right. That could open up something else, too. I don't know what Oregon's going
to do. UCLA probably won't hire a real coach for a couple of years just to save some money.
No, but I was, was it you?
Perm should be so much better than
No, you were talking, we were talking about it, and it's like one of the things that holds, you know, UCLA back in terms of financially is the fact that it's in L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's really expensive to live in L.A. to get.
Three players to one dorm.
Yeah. It's hardcore, man.
Yeah. Like, when that gets out.
When you want to bring in a new coach, I was like, man, I need a house. And they're like, well, I mean, you got to find one. It's like, are you paying millions of dollars a year? Because that's basically what it takes to be able to afford a home in L.A.
Yeah. You're thinking about your home, and you're thinking about how am I going to get players when we've got three guys to a dorm.
That's crazy, man.
And it's not a big dorm room.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah.
And they're big guys.
They're big guys. No, you're right about that. Those dorm rooms ain't that big.
No.
Trust me, they ain't that big. But I digress. But getting back to the coaching.
I helped you.
No, but I like that, though. That's a good point. Nobody thinks about that with UCLA or... Because it's usually college towns are in rural areas.
Right.
Well, not... A lot of them are in rural areas. Austin is one that's in a kind of a metropolitan area. You know, Washington, obviously UCLA, USC. There are a few of them, and it does actually make it tough. There are advantages as well, but it makes it tough when the property value skyrockets on you. And
that's a good thing about USC is that the property value is not as expensive as a lot of places in L.A. You just got to worry about getting shot. That's a rough area.
It is, but it's called gentrification, and
oh yeah,
and it happens.
But then that means the values are going to go up.
I know, I'm saying, right,
yeah.
Trust me,
yeah. Fair enough.
You should say that about East Austin too.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Yeah, go try to buy something in East Austin now. You can't afford.
I've looked at the price. Exactly. Crazy, man.
You could afford it. You can't afford it now.
We missed out, didn't we?
Oh, we all did. First check that I got from the league should have been down payments up there in East Austin.
And I'm blaming more my
all of us,
older
though.
Relatives.
Everybody
we
missed
didn't
out
have
on
any
that.
Money.
We missed out on that gold rush. That was a gold
it
rush.
Really
we
was.
All could have participated in. Yeah, not as good. Anyway, but I digress. Here's another gold rush, NIL.
Yeah.
That is a gold rush. And with the Longhorns now, and there's obviously multiple NIL initiatives, but Horns with Hearts, they have a special program now that they want to connect name, image, and likeness revenue with also charitable causes and programs. Actually, really cool idea. But one of the first initiatives for them is going to be the Pancake Factory, I believe they're calling it, which is a cool name, actually. The Pancake Factory, which is a name, image, and likeness program to get all of the offensive linemen that are on scholarship at Texas a name, image, and likeness deal that will be worth upwards of $50,000.
Game changer.
That is a game changer, along with the Clark Field Collective, which also can end up getting, you know, players' name, image, and likeness money. But with all of that being said, Longhorn fans are really excited because they're thinking, okay, this is going to be something that can attract big-time recruits. They may be right. Here's some other news. This is not necessarily related to the news at Texas, but it could be. With Mario Cristobal going to Miami, one of the top-ranked offensive linemen that came out, he was Kelvin Banks, actually,
mm-hmm.
Who was actually committed to Mario Cristobal when he was there at Oregon. Now that he is going to Miami, that commit, Kelvin Banks Jr., has decommitted, not the second, Kelvin Banks Jr., has decommitted, and he put out a statement saying, I truly thank everyone for believing in my talents, but due to recent coaching changes, I will be decommitting from the University of Oregon. Right now, I am focused on doing what is best for my future and my family. Longhorn fans are excited because he is from H-Town. Oh, he's from Humble.
Humble.
So
Humble. Right, Rod?
No.
Is it humble or humble?
I say humble. But
I say humble, too.
I know, but I'm not discouraging anybody. Whatever you want to say. It's Summer Creek, I believe, is the high school that
it's
he's
Town
from.
Lake, too.
What?
It's Town Lake, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There you go. No,
now we're just correcting people.
Hey, you are the Austinite.
Manchac.
Whatever you say it is. I used to live off Manchac.
And it's Miller.
Oh, instead of Mueller.
It's not Mueller. It's
okay,
Miller.
Okay, sorry. Miller. I didn't know.
Okay. Well, I'm just helping people out.
Some people still say Mueller.
Well, I know, and I correct him.
You correct him.
I'm fun at parties.
Every damn time. But Kelvin Banks, five-star offensive lineman, decommitted from Oregon. There are a lot of people that believe Texas will be in this recruitment for this five-star offensive lineman. Number two among offensive tackle prospects in the country in that 2022 class. Number five overall player coming out in the state of Texas.
There is obviously a football Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just... Oh, this is perfect timing. Look, we talked about Banks when he committed, and the thought was in the recruiting circles that it was a Texas A&M battle, and he goes to Oregon. And remember, we talked about the NIL money with Phil Knight and Nike and what they're doing, and I thought we're losing guys because of that.
Yeah.
This works out really well. I mean, the timing is perfect. With Texas unveiling this pancake factory to go with Clark Field Collective, and this kid could be coming in making 150 to start, and he's a five-star, so if he does kick ass, get you a Pluckers deal, get you a couple other deals.
That's a lot of deals.
A man's 19 making $200K a year or more. Yeah. I think this is really, really, really good news for Texas, and Banks is a tackle. We talked about some of the guards they got. It felt like the interior of the offensive line was going to be improving with talent, but they missed out on tackles. This would be the guy, five-star. Jason Sukumel has his crystal ball prediction with Banks going to Texas now. So this would be gigantic, Rod. Yep. Thank God. I've never been happier for the U than I am today because of what this does.
No, it does. It opened up the coaching carousel. I mean, look what's happened at Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, there's been a mass exodus of talent
A&M
there
just
because
got a guy.
Lincoln Riley, they got a five-star.
Yeah, Texas
five-star
got
defensive
a
lineman.
Four-star linebacker.
And Texas got a linebacker. Was it Kobe, I believe?
I think that's it.
Is he a Kobe?
I think it's
Kobe McKenzie.
He's pretty athletic, apparently.
Yeah. No, he is. I've actually watched some film on him. I think he probably projects to be an outside, like a pass rush, an outside linebacker.
So I wanted to ask you, because Paul said he didn't know where he'd put him.
Because they have, I totally agree. I said the same thing. I was like, in this day and age, I was wondering, I said, you got to project to be an outside linebacker and kind of pass rusher, like a defensive end / hybrid outside linebacker and pass rusher. Because I don't want him as an off-ball linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be, I don't know, I gotta watch him run, but to me, I think he'd be out of place in a modern space and pace world. But I will say Big 12 is changing, but you're not going to be in the Big 12 very long. You're going to the SEC West, which now looks like the Big 12 did 5 to 7 years ago.
let's not redo the kitchen because we're running.
Right? So
about to move in.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't really know, but I mean, to the point, though, with all the coaching carousel, with all the turnover happening all around the country, you're having a lot of prized prospects that are deciding, hey, I came here to play for a certain coach. If he's not here, then I'm opening up my recruitment, and Texas needs to take advantage of it. I don't think it's... You know, I think that it's not a coincidence that the Pancake Factory initiative comes out when you're trying to close the 2022 recruiting class and you only have two offensive linemen currently committed, and you're looking at serious attrition on your offensive line. As a matter of fact, Texas will have another transfer portal player leaving, Rafidi Gamai. Rafidi Gamai is going to leave. He only appeared in 13 games for the Longhorns, but once again, that's one less player available for development and even for a body on the offensive line for the spring. That would make the fifth player entering the transfer portal since the season ended, joining Marquez Caldwell, the defensive back, Adeleye, Marcus Tillman, the linebackers, Avante Woodard, also a wide receiver, as the fifth player to enter that transfer portal, KD. So it looks like the talks that Sark had with the players, you know, they're doing the player evaluations overall, and they're having one-on-ones with all the players, telling them, hey, where they stand, you know, strengths, weaknesses, what they need them to work on, all that kind of stuff, where they stand with the, you know, the roster, what their expectations are. And I guarantee you, some of those talks for these players coming out, they knew, and the coaches knew,
right,
I want this guy to transfer. And then coming out of that, it was communicated to the player that, you know, you won't be valued here. You'll be more valued somewhere else than you would be here.
And they should have known that because...
Yeah, they'll know that.
But you're right. But have those honest conversations. But if you couldn't get playing time on this team outside of the running back
that's
room,
true.
Then it ain't happening.
It ain't happening.
Go find another spot and free it up, hopefully, for what is a huge overhaul of this roster.
Yeah. No, it's definitely happening. I mean, the overhaul is... But it's the best time... If Texas is indeed in the middle of a rebuild, and it looks like Sark, went from all gas, no brakes to literally describing his football team as rebuilding an old classic car.
Yeah.
It took him like 8 games.
And like, not a BMW.
No. We're talking about an old classic car. It's going to take a while to find the parts.
Right.
Guys, I got to go. I got to call international places to get these parts.
I don't think they make these anymore.
They don't make these anymore. This is going to be specialty made things, all this kind of stuff, whatever. So it'll take them a while. If it's indeed a rebuild, number one, I hope, and we talked about this on Longhorn Blitz, I hope that the leadership behind the scenes over at the 40 Acres, that they saw it was a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And then got a coach saying, no, we need a guy that knows how to rebuild. Now, Sark actually has rebuilt.
Yeah.
We've been to Washington, right? They were a terrible program, rebuilt them into being a competitive program. So I hope they had that in mind, that he's the right guy for the rebuild. Sark didn't know it was a rebuild, even said at the beginning of the season at Big 12 Media Days, he said, this is not a rebuild. I've been a part of a rebuild. Well, things change.
Once again, the scariest thing that I've seen from the previous three coaching staffs is their lack of correct evaluation of what the talent is when they got here.
And he came from Bama. He came from one of the most talented teams in the history of college football.
Yes.
And he was like, ah, we're good.
Yeah.
No.
You were dating 10s and 11s, and you couldn't tell she was a 4?
You could tell she
was a 3?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And Austin 6 at best. So, no, I'm with you. But I think that it's the best time ever to be rebuilding in college football, especially if you're Texas. Given name, image, and likeness.
There's no question.
And the transfer portal and the one-time transfer rule without penalty.
That's
the best time to be rebuilding.
It's the one bit of optimism I've been able to give Texas fans.
And Lincoln Riley's gone.
This is perfect. This is perfect timing to if you're going to turn it.
And Lincoln's gone.
But it's still going to take time.
It's going to take a little time. Well, A&M, Lincoln's gone, but A&M's rising up. So that's your, it used to be like, oh, you got to worry about Oklahoma. Yeah, you do have to worry about Oklahoma, but now you're going to the SEC and one of your other rivals is coming back and one of your other rivals is following you there. But at least with no Lincoln Riley.
True.
It's a reason to be optimistic if you're a Longhorn fan.
And then there was also DB, Larry Turner Gooden.
Not that name.
Oh, this is what it is. This is Longhorn's Wire. And they were saying that, actually, a crystal ball was going for another offensive tackle, a 4-star Malik Ogbo. So get as many offensive tackles, get as many good linemen. You got to turn that around. One thing on Banks, too, mm-hmm. Rod, it's not ideal, but you're going to be asking some of these freshmen to come in and compete. Probably something they like.
Yeah.
But usually that's position, as I talk about the Garden, you'd rather have redshirt sophomores starting for the first time, but you got to get in there.
No, that's a good point, though, about these offensive linemen they're going to bring in. That's great. They got to bring in young guys. But to your point about your Garden analogy, and I love it, you know, some of these guys are going to do them a disservice by putting them in there too early. So you still need to develop the players that are on campus.
Yep.
To that point, it was a little bit of bad news. Isaiah Hookfin, did you hear that news that he was in a motorcycle accident or something?
No.
Something like that. Something weird. He isn't available for the spring.
Oh, God.
I want to say he put it out there on Twitter and thanked the company made the helmet.
Jeez.
Yeah, because he was like, I survived, and I think most of it was because my helmet worked really well. but anyway, I'll find that tweet and read it because it was really, really interesting. But anyway, my man Chip Brown points out, if Hookfin isn't available for spring football, the current scholarship offensive lineman available for spring ball would be Jake Majors, Junior Ungalau, Andres Carrick, Christian Jones, Logan Parr, Hayden Connor, Jalen Garth, and Max Merrill, and then some walk-ons. You start looking at, that's 10 guys? 8, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And that's, I'm including the walk-ons here. So maybe including the walk-ons, you got 12 total there, and that's including the walk-ons.
So guys are coming in and playing. I mean, also the guys you mentioned.
Just the way it looks. If you look at the production from last year, too, in the development.
All right, so I got the hook fin tweet for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Shout out to LS2 Helmets. Had a major motorcycle accident, fractured 8 ribs, broke my collarbone, forearm, and lacerated my spleen, but my head came back in one piece with the helmet barely looking damaged.
Oh,
that helmet is probably the only reason I'm alive. This is from December 3rd.
Wow. Great job, Patrick. So, first of all, NIL deal. Thinking about the money. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good job. Even in a hospital bed, thinking about the cash.
Someone's got a sponsor in their mind. It's a good idea.
Good for you. So I imagine that's probably what that report was about from Horns 24/7. Thanks, Patrick. Good job.
Yeah. All right. Wow. So there are spots open. There's money to be had. I can't think of a better sales pitch for trying to remake this offensive line.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. They only got 2 committed in 22
class. And you got
class.
A proven offensive line coach.
Yeah. And they only got 2 in this class, so You need more?
Need more. We'll get back to more Texas football.
More
up
beef.
Next, we'll talk a little Texans Tuesday. Could there be a quarterback change?
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town. About to check outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know.
Oh, this is a good one. I can let this roll all day long right here. And not because we're about to talk Texans Tuesday. That's not why I was doing that. It is a Bat Tuesday. Also a Texans Tuesday.
That's true.
Good selection here from Patrick. We actually have some Texans news here. What do we got?
There is some Texans news. Apparently, David Culley may be mulling a quarterback change. Remember, he benched Tyrod Taylor, understandably so, for his performance in that loss to Indianapolis. We'll get to how disastrous and embarrassing that loss was, 31-0 versus the Indianapolis Colts. But Tyrod Taylor was benched in that game. He also ended up having a hurt wrist, but they said the benching was not performance-based. David Culley said it wasn't performance-based, so and it wasn't and also, he said it was performance-based.
Yeah, so he said it wasn't an injury, right?
It wasn't because of the wrist, my bad. He said it was performance-based, so not because of the injury. And according to the Texans, Tyrod Taylor was healthy enough to return. They put in Davis Mills. He went 6 of 14. I think they combined for 27 pass attempts for just 94 total yards. Texans only had 2.8 yards per play. It was really, really bad. We'll get into that. But now they're thinking about...
They combined for a 35 rating.
It was. I'm saying...
Tyrod Taylor had a 2.7 QBR.
It was horrible. Like, it was one of the worst performances in the history of the Texans, and the Texans have had some really bad performances. But it actually... so now they may think about going with Davis Mills, the young quarterback, going forward, because now, after that disastrous offensive performance, they're thinking, what else do we have to lose? If Tyrod Taylor's going to be this bad, we might as well try to invest in the young quarterback and give him some of these valuable reps to see if we can develop Davis Mills into anything.
Now, he's been bad too, though, right?
He's been really, really bad. I mean, they've both been bad. And also, the Texans are still trying to build a culture. So, you know, David Culley, he is saying that this week they're going to compete like for the job, basically, Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills. So he still hasn't said who's going to win it, but he says that based on the performances throughout practice, they'll determine who's going to win the job.
Do you remember when I talked to you about not ruining rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah.
This is how you ruin rookie quarterbacks.
Patrick, I was thinking the exact same
thing. Game plan to ruin a – Davis Mills is done. Like, he may have a backup career for a little bit, but he will never be a starter in the league because they're destroying him in Houston.
Especially because Davis Mills didn't have enough reps at Stanford.
No, and he wasn't – I mean, he's never shown that he's been that great. He was maybe a high ceiling guy, but you went and said, let's see how low we can dig on this floor.
He had some flashes, Tyrod Taylor has had a passer rating below 70 in three of the last four games. But to Patrick's point, if you're rebuilding, you're rebuilding.
So I know.
It shouldn't even matter really about Tyrod Taylor's performance. He's your quarterback because you're not necessarily trying to win as a franchise. You are in rebuilding mode. But it's a mess. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. David Culley, actually, his job is – It's actually maybe in jeopardy, too. They asked Nick Caserio on 610 in H-Town, you know, are you going to make a coaching change after the season? He said, I'm not going to comment on the status of David Culley while the season is going on.
You don't make that change, though, until you're really thinking that you're rebuilding.
I agree.
Because you're still tearing down right now.
That's why I think you just leave Tyrod Taylor in there. You leave David Culley there until you start, you know, building pieces around them.
And that may be in 2 years.
You're right.
I mean,
right,
Culley, I mean, it may not. It sounds like the way Caserio phrased that. But I would keep him around until you – because what are you going to do, hire someone for a year or two? Are you going to hire your next great head coach, hopefully?
No.
You really are trying to win?
If you think you have your guy, you hire him. Now, whether that's this offseason or in two offseasons.
Now, that's a good point.
I think when you find your guy, Culley is fired no matter – like, it doesn't matter when it is. But if you think you have your guy – but I don't know who that guy is right now.
Right. Because you don't know what they're going
to
be.
I also don't trust anyone in this organization to make the right decision on who that guy is or who the right player is. I don't think this is a coach problem.
What about Caserio?
This is
an
owner-down problem.
I like Caserio.
I don't. But what player talent has he shown? Like, what in the draft this year did he do well? What did he do bad? Like, I don't know that he has any track record really other than...
Well, that gets back to my point about Belichick with the draft.
Yeah. Exactly. Talking about that. No, he doesn't have a track record, but at least he's stripping it down.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they need. They need to strip it down. He's stripping it down. I mean, they got 1 to 2 year contracts for most of these guys. They made more transactions than anybody in the league just because they're cutting guys and bringing them in. And he's starting to try to build for the draft, right, in terms of increasing the draft capital for the future. So he's trying. But I mean, he's handcuffed in terms of what he can do. Deshaun Watson, their most valuable commodity, right, as a team, as a franchise, I mean, he has decided he doesn't want to play for them, and they can't trade him.
Yeah. This has been a crazy couple years,
there's nothing they can
man.
Do. Now, I'll get on Nick Caserio because he brought in Jack Easterby. That, to me, shows that he may not know what the hell he's doing. It's possible he just has no idea what the hell he's doing because he brought in Jack Easterby when Jack Easterby arguably was the start of the disgruntlement of Deshaun Watson. Not that it would matter when you got 22 civil lawsuits against you. Not that it would matter.
Well, right. But then there is this other whole looming problem with the Texans is they don't have any fans there now.
Exactly.
You can't do 2 more years of no fans without them thinking, hey, we might want to move this team again. There may not be another team. I mean, I don't think you stay 2 to 3 more years of this bad. Hey, there's no hope. Hey, we're just kind of trying to get rid of bad contracts. You have to at some point try and get somebody exciting on this team. So where do you start to get somebody exciting?
Sell it to
Elon
Musk.
That's the question.
Sell it to Elon. Buy it. Elon, it's chump change for you, man. Just buy the Texans. It's chump change.
Got that in his
the
wallet.
The richest man in the world, and he's right down the way. Go let that man buy it. Okay, real quick, let me tell you how bad the Texans were on offense, period, because it doesn't take long. The offense didn't run a play in Colts territory until the third quarter. It didn't complete a pass to a wide receiver until then. It didn't get past the Colts 40 for the entirety of the game. The Texans didn't. They had 141 total yards on offense, 2.8 yards per play. The first play on offense was an interception for the Texans, and they fumbled on the 5th play on offense, which was on the 2nd drive. And like I said, after that, they didn't have a drive over 20 yards until the 3rd quarter. I mean, it was a miserable performance. It was fugly with a capital F.
I was on Red Zone, and they went there a couple times. I'm like, what are you going to this for?
It was just bad. They are now the worst total offense, scoring offense, and rushing offense in the NFL. 31st worst, I believe, passing offense. So. The Bears are worse, I believe. So there's
God.
That. It's bad. Man. It's bad.
Nagy's gone.
Yeah, Nagy's gone. Hell, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I was surprised about the Joe Brady news from yesterday.
Yeah.
That let me know that Matt Rhule's on the hot seat now. You know what Matt Rhule screwed up? You know where he screwed up?
I told you that, and you were like, you're crazy.
No. I didn't agree with I didn't think the owner would be that. You know, rash, but apparently it is.
Either.
They needed somebody to take the blame for them, their quarterback issues. And I've always said, if you got quarterback uncertainty and quarterback, you know, instability, somebody's on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Matt Rhule, but then he's like, oh, it's Joe Brady. It was Joe Brady's fault. No, you should have drafted a damn quarterback. You could have drafted Justin Fields or Mac Jones, and you didn't. You went with Sam Darnold and then brought in Cam Newton. That's a you problem, Matt Rhule.
Totally agree.
So I love Matt Rhule. You know I do, but Matt Rhule, that's on you, man. You screwed that up, brother, and you got your boy Joe Brady fired as a result because you mismanaged the quarterback position.
We know he can build a college program. Can he build an NFL organization?
Great point. I don't know.
And two different things. All right, we're an hour in. We got 3 to go. We'll get back to the NFL coming up next. Cowboys are getting healthier, and it's the perfect time. They're favorites for the game against Washington. We'll also give you some MVP odds. This is RBKD on the Horn.